New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back. About to set it up. New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got
him. Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
All right, guys, welcome back into the Good 247 podcast. I'm Glenn West, the senior writer here at the site, joined by Dylan Sanders, who is coming at us live from an undisclosed location in New Orleans. I am coming from you guys at the Atlanta Marriott Hotel, the Atlanta Airport Marriott Hotel, I should say. Pretty good accommodations, I would say, but LSU is coming off of a pretty disappointing loss, I would say. I mean, there were some really good positives, I think, that you can take away from this performance, particularly in the second half, which we'll get into. But, you know, just, you know, look, 50-30 is the final from the SEC championship. Dylan, how did you take in this game? What were your, I guess, overall thoughts kind of coming out of this one?
Well, you know, in the first quarter, I feel like you kind of just had to laugh, like, to get through what was going on. The insane interception off of Jack Besh's helmet, and then the blocked kick, bookending the season with blocked kicks. That's not ideal, but you know, it was the first game in a while where we were really like, oh wow, special teams was pretty bad. So I guess, I mean, maybe that could be a positive in that, you know, they win a stretch being okay. But overall, it was more of like a, oh well, yeah, I saw that coming. and then trying to figure out what it means for next year, because pretty much everybody saw this coming.
Yeah. I don't think LSU, I mean, like, the spread was 17 coming into this one. LSU loses by 20. We'll get into the offensive kind of performance in the second half. But LSU, I thought overall offensively played a lot better than I thought they would coming into this game. You look at the stats, and LSU threw for 502 yards between Jaden Daniels and Garrett Nussmeier. That's actually an SEC championship record.
By like 80 yards.
Yeah, man. And yeah, so it was a really impressive performance by both quarterbacks, especially considering, you know, Jaden was playing on a hobbled leg for most of the second quarter. And I think it's just something you can grow on as an offense. I think we could probably start with the offense. We could start with the positives. Look, the interception there in the first quarter off of Besh's helmet, really just a fluke play. I mean, you coming into this game, I think at least I kind of had the theory that, you know, look, LSU's going to need to make those kinds of plays in order to stay in this game. They're going to need to be the team that creates those, offensive or defensive mistakes on Georgia. It was just extremely important for LSU to kind of come away with those plays. And unfortunately, it was Georgia. You know, they kind of came away with the big special teams play, the big interception, which turned into a touchdown one play later. When Georgia goes up 21-7 in the first quarter, at that point, you're just playing catch up the rest of the night. And it became really hard to expect LSU to come back in that game. But I think what you saw in that second half was a team that, going back to what Coach Kelly has said all year long, that showed some fight, you know, at least on the offensive side of the ball. LSU showed a lot of fight there with Nussmeier at quarterback and kind of overcoming that adversity of losing your starter in the first half. And I thought it was just a really positive way for those guys to end this season. Kayshawn Booty had a really nice game. We were waiting on the breakout Kayshawn game. Had the big 53-yard touchdown. It kind of sparked LSU's second-half run there, but you kind of wish it had helped lead to something more, right? And I think that's where we'll get into it with the defensive side of things in a few minutes. But just offensively, what were some of your big takeaways from this game?
I preached it all week long. Like, we know what's going to – get this Georgia defense, and it is big plays. And that's what happened all night long. That's why they set a record. Like, this defense, this Georgia defense is good, but it's not as elite as it used to be. And it is definitely gettable with the big plays. You can get over top guys, and that's exactly what they did. Even when they, you know, the running game didn't really get going, but again, it's more of like what can we look forward to next year? Because I think we can't escape this without talking about how good of a case Garrett Nussmeier made himself. I feel like it was a preconceived notion from a lot of people that it was like, okay, well, Walker and maybe Jaden will come back next year, but Nuss is gone. Nuss is going to transfer. I mean, he came in today, injected a lot of energy, looked really good. And then, you know, the full Nuss cycle, he did have a strip sack and an interception, almost a couple interceptions. But, he looked – he made some really impressive throws. So maybe, you know, there's a little bit of a question going into maybe the bowl game of who plays, if Jaden's healthy or not, or what happens next year. But, I think – Garrett Nussmeier came in and performed and gave himself a little bit of a last grasp to stick around in this quarterback room.
Yeah, so, you know, I a couple things with that. You know, I think Nussmeier's performance. Oh, wait,
also Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers, yeah. Shout out. He's so good.
He is what we thought he was. He is what we thought.
Exactly.
He was.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Go on.
That was the Nabers that we saw all offseason and dominated really throughout the spring and the fall camp. So nice to see him have a game like that where he got in the end zone too. That was one of the things that I wrote about in our three players piece, you know, leading up to this game, was that Nabers was due for a touchdown. And so it was good to see him get in the end zone.
Kind of everything we talked about kind of came true.
Yeah.
In terms of the offense of, you know, yeah. I was talking about the Kayshon game. You're talking about the Malik game, yeah. Talking about big plays like LSU on offense. And we can talk about the defense in a little bit. But on offense, kind of executed what could have happened. But it was really special teams and defense that really let them down, because they could have been in this game. Imagine LSU going up 3-0 between, 7-0. That's a 10-point swing if you think about it.
There were a couple of those.
A 4-point swing. But, like, it was just even at the beginning, it's like, wow, if you could have taken a lead with your offense working like it was working and it worked after that, who knows what could have happened. But again, yeah. All three phases matter.
There were a couple of those big swings. The fourth quarter stop, or I mean, the fourth down stop in the third quarter there, where LSU really had a chance to cut it to 10 or 11 points. They get stuffed on fourth and one again. You know, everyone's going to be screaming for a quarterback sneak in that situation. You know, you don't go shotgun and on fourth and one, but that was a big swing as well, because LSU would grab the momentum in that game. And if they convert a touchdown there, we could be talking about a very different game and how it played out, but they don't. And Georgia goes down and scores a touchdown and really kind of keeps that momentum down for LSU. So, but I do want to get back to the Nussmeier thing here for a minute. I talked with a couple of people at the game, and just these were just like reporters and a couple of people that were in the kind of the LSU communications department. But, you know, look, I think there probably is an understanding that there's going to be, you know, if Jaden decides to come back, there's going to be some attrition with this quarterback room. If Jaden's back, you know, then you play the numbers game. You got Nussmeier, you got Howard, you got Ricky Collins coming in as well, along with Jaden. And that's kind of a crowded room, right? And so I think the biggest thing here with Nussmeier is to really look at if he enters the transfer portal here in the next couple of weeks. I think if he decides to hold his name out of the portal and play in this bowl game, whether that means Jaden is healthy or not, I think there's a pretty good understanding there that he's had some good conversations with Coach Kelly, with the offensive staff about what his role could look like if he came back another year. That's just kind of me reading between the tea leaves there. I honestly don't know what to expect. I wouldn't be surprised if he puts his name in the portal right away, like I would imagine a number of players do.
I mean, it could start by the time you're hearing this. Like, it literally, yeah, from now, it could happen literally whenever. I'm sure there will be players. Brian Kelly openly admitted to, like, being like, yeah, we're going to talk to players who might want to transfer out of here last week. Like, it's a thing that's going to happen. It's a thing that we, you know, have to get used to with the new era. It'll happen. It'll happen quick. It'll happen a lot. The transfer portal opens in a couple of days. And, you know, they really could have had people already do it, and it wouldn't have surprised me. So they've stuck together to this point, but it won't be like, don't expect to not hear anything until after the bowl game. It'll start happening, if not now, within the next couple of days.
Yeah. And look, I think Garrett made a great case. You know, the two turnovers there in the fourth quarter were just, in my opinion, those were kind of throwaway turnovers. I mean, that was just a guy trying to do a little bit too much. I mean, I know that's been a common
thing with Garrett in his career. But the way that, you know, you're not doing him much help.
Yeah, but the way he was playing in that third quarter, he was taking risks, but he was taking good risks. And I think in that fourth quarter, when you're down 20-plus points, you're really just trying to do anything you can to get the ball downfield and into the end zone. So, you know, he held it on. He held on to the ball a bit too long on that strip sack fumble. That's nothing for me. I mean, I think you know, you're just trying to wait to see if a guy gets open, and if he doesn't, then whatever. You're down 20 points at that point, so it really doesn't matter. So
it was by far his best performance as an LSU Tiger, and I think without a doubt, because if you look up to that point, I mean, really, he kind of made it an interesting game before that. You know, maybe if they again that fourth down call. Maybe if they get that, we're having a completely different conversation right now, because up until that point, like, he was the, and again, I don't want anybody to like take this as, or even start the conversation of, oh, well, look how good they were. Look how good they were with Nussmeier. He should have been the quarterback the whole time. It's a completely different situation. He was the energy that they needed at that point. And he came in and served his purpose and made some really, really nice throws. By far looked his best. And then, you know, at the end, he made some mistakes. But again, like you said, I think it was exactly what you said. It was just a guy trying to get something done. But he, again, by far his best game as a Tiger.
Yeah, and Kelly wanted him to be aggressive. And one of the big things that I took out of, you know, the post-game interviews with Kelly, with Neighbors, who was there after the game as well, we asked Neighbors a couple of different times about the second half offense there, and he was just glowing about Nussmeier. I mean, I think you can really tell that these receivers, even going back into the, you know, the summer, that, you know, Kayshon talked up Garrett a lot in the summer.
A lot.
So, you know, these receivers, they understand what Nussmeier brings to the table. They understand that he's a guy that can fling the ball and get them the ball and have them go up there and make plays, trust him to make the plays. And that's not something you can sneeze at as a coach. You know, I think if you want to, you know, try to keep this thing together as tight as possible, you talk with Garrett, you say, hey, look, I think there's, you know, possibilities here for you if you stick around. Now, will that happen? We don't know. I mean, literally, like, as we're recording this could be a moot conversation in literally 12 hours from now. So, and we're recording this Saturday after the game, like 2 hours after this game. So, you know, with that, I think maybe we could touch on maybe a little bit of the defense. You know, I don't want to touch on special teams. Just,
we've had the conversation before. Just go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
It's bad. Again,
at this point, special teams, like Coach Kelly said it again tonight, it's coaching. He put it on himself, but you've got to do something with special teams. I don't know that you go all out and get rid of Polian, because I think there are some things that Coach Kelly really trusts him with in terms
of
what else? Go ahead.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession. passion leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control all desire, now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Okay, I was gonna say what I will say about Napoleon, just so it's not like, you know, the crap on Napoleon segment. From talking to players, he's a good recruiter. Players like him.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, I think we know that. But I feel like at this point, we're in the SEC championship game, man. It has to be a role adjustment at next year. I don't see how LSU in good conscience goes at next season with him as the special teams coordinator. That's my feel on the situation. I just don't see how you justify it. But again, I know he's friends with Kelly. Players like him. Fine. Keep him on in a recruiting role. But yeah, at this point, man, it's just, again, we don't even want to talk about it. We're tired of having the conversation about special teams. Yeah. They got it around for a little bit, but man, it's just the same mistakes. And yeah, just bad.
Got nothing really to add to that. I mean, I'm kind of in that same boat. You know, I think you try to keep him on as the recruiting guy, but I think you just need a new voice in that department. You know, I think there's obviously some disconnect there between what he's trying to coach and what the players are picking up, and you've got to find a way to fix that heading into next season. So that'll be enough of the special teams. Let's talk about this defense that
not much better.
Yeah. I mean, you give up 529 yards. LSU actually outgained Georgia in this game with only 47 yards rushing, which is incredible how efficient of a night they had passing the ball with those big chunk plays. But, you know, look, Georgia – pretty balanced for LSU. They dominated in both areas, 255 yards on the ground, 274 through the air. You know, look, the first half was the Stetson Bennett show. He was absolutely carving up LSU's secondary. Really not much that they could do to stop Brock Bowers. You know, McConkey had a couple nice big catches. You know, Darnell Washington had a nice catch for a touchdown. You know, just – complete dominance, honestly, on the offensive side of the ball throughout this game. And, you know, the second half was the running game. And really the guy that I thought would kill them was McIntosh, but, you know, he had a nice game, 55 yards and two touchdowns. But the big one was Milton. Kendall Milton just ran all over them, 8 carries for 113 yards in this game. They consistently got to the outside on LSU. They got I can't really recall if there were a lot of inside runs that had huge gains. I think they did a lot of counters. They did a lot of outside zone runs, and really had their way on attacking the edge and getting to the edge and having success against LSU in that department. But you know, we talked about it kind of coming in. You know, the run game had picked up for Georgia in the previous couple of games. They were a lot more balanced of a team, and I think you saw that tonight in spades. LSU just didn't have, you know, the answers down the stretch, and you know, Georgia really was able to pound them on the ground in that second half as LSU's offense tried to get them back into the game. Georgia just wouldn't allow it. But just what were your big, I guess, takeaways defensively?
Yeah, I mean, not much else to add. It's just, you know, disappointing performance given how, you know, it was, if anything, it was going to be the roles reversed, the defense showing up against a Georgia offense that people have shut down and maybe an LSU offense not being able to. This is Georgia's first time allowing 30 points in like 2 years almost, I think, or something like that. If not it's definitely the first time this year, but like, to have that kind of performance from your offense and then give up 50, I didn't expect this game to get to 80 points at all.
No.
Although I did predict like 42-30 on the Georgia podcast. I mean, hey, pat on my back, I guess. But
you switched it up by the time.
I did. Well, you know, big I did time. More research, and then big I time. You know, then I took the under, and then, you know.
Yeah,
that happened. But, you know, again, like Harold Perkins, he got a lot of tackles, but like, you know, he's it's more, again, it's kind of like just what's going to be the future? I mean, it's the LSU defense is going to look a lot different next year.
Yeah.
Matt House probably staying. I don't think he'll get a new job this year, but I mean, with how the coaching search has moved on, some people were afraid of him getting poached already. It doesn't look like that'll happen, but you know, he'll be here. He'll be around, but this was a veteran defense with in the secondary, in the front seven. It'll look a lot different, but you know, the young guy, Harold Perkins, looks good. Sage Ryan really needs to work on. He needs work. He was a very exciting to me. He was like a Sage. He was a Harold Perkins level excitement coming out of high school. I was really excited about him, and he has flashed and has shown. Yeah, flashes, but he needs some work for next year for sure. But I would imagine he's up there in terms of he'll probably be the nickel corner next year. So some work over the offseason unless they get somebody. But again, it'll be a lot different of a defense next year. But
yeah
just not what you wanted. Not what you wanted.
Yeah, I mean, kind of bouncing off that idea a little bit. I mean, just scrolling through here, looking at some of the names. Micah Baskerville, Greg Brooks, Jay Ward, Derek Bernard Converse, Makai Garner, BJ Ojulari, Ali Gay, maybe Joe Fusha comes back. Jaqueline Roy is another guy. I mean, like that's eight or nine guys who were like a huge part of your team this year that very well could all be gone. I mean, LSU is losing.
You have Makai. You'll have Makai Wingo, Harold Perkins, and Sage Ryan had to fill in a bunch. But Harold Perkins and Makai Wingo are really the only locks to come back. Greg Penn, those are really the only locks to come back that are like regular contributors from this year. Yeah. So just as we mentioned earlier about keeping an eye on how the transfer portal works out on offense in terms of people leaving, I mean, defense, look at names who are going to be coming in, like look around the country, see there are some big names that could be popping up and taking a look at who could come in. But also recruiting really is going to be big. Desmond Ricks, JV and Toviano, we could be looking at two huge names that LSU is yet to lock in, but are, you know, favored right now. Those would be huge contributors next year, and they would absolutely play, I think,
Yeah, I think so too. And I mean, like we talked about the guys who could potentially leave a little bit on offense. You know, I think Nussmeier is a candidate, and you know, we'll see what happens with Jack Besh, but he could be a candidate. A couple of the O linemen could be candidates, but you know, on the defensive side of the ball, you're not losing many guys to the portal. You're just losing them to either eligibility or to the draft. And so you've got to hit the portal hard, I think, in the secondary again, which is not the ideal scenario.
Major Burns might come back.
Major Burns is a good one to potentially come back. Yeah, I would imagine he's back. Staff really likes him. They love his communication skills. But there's work to be done there, too. I mean, he didn't have a great game tonight.
You give up 50 points, pretty much nobody had a good game. Nobody had a good game tonight. Ali
had a couple nice little tackles for loss. I thought he was all right. But, you know, again,
it's more about who are the vocal guys that are going to step up next year that, you know, maybe we saw. Like, because, I mean, Harold Perkins is still only going to be a sophomore next year, which is crazy to think.
Yeah, well, I think you're still going to ask him to be a big vocal leader. I think you're going to ask Greg Penn to be a leader. You're going to ask a couple
of Major Burns for sure.
Major Burns, yeah. You're going to ask a couple of these transfers that are coming in. Makai Wingo is another name that comes to mind as a huge leader.
They asked him to talk after the game, so like you can already tell that means that they like him a lot.
Yeah, he's very, very well respected. And you got that Mason Smith guy coming back next year, too.
That name. I haven't even thought about that name in forever.
The staff has been very complimentary of a guy like Quincy Wiggins and his development throughout this this year. He hadn't had a ton of playing time, but there's a number of freshmen that were in this last class.
Savion Jones, DeMario Tolan.
DeMario Tolan. Yeah. So there's some names here that LSU is excited about. Those guys don't have a lot of the on-field playing experience yet, but you're going to be asking all those guys to be taking on huge roles next year.
Terrence Welch is going to be probably the loudest player on the team, if I had to guess, just from our experiences of him in the fall. And that's going to be fun. And, you know, he made some plays in the fall, so he'll definitely, I think, play a major role. It's going to be a young defense is all you really need to take away from this. You know, we can talk, you know, it didn't really make sense to focus on the performances of a lot of people because a lot of this defense is not going to be here. So trying to take a look at the future and what could happen. If you, while we're on here, if you had to pick one major focus of the portal on defense, where do you think LSU needs to focus?
For me personally, I think you gotta hit the secondary again. I know a lot of people have talked about the depth in the defensive line, and that's very important. I'm not disagreeing there. But you're literally losing, I would say, probably four, if not five, of your starters from the secondary this year. That's a huge issue that you've got to be able to hit the portal with. Hope that these incoming freshmen can be able to play. You know, if you're going to be able to get a couple of these incoming freshmen that you're projected at right now, that's going to be huge. So these next couple of weeks are going to be big for LSU. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. You've got to be able to restock. You've got to be able to retool. Yeah, I would say secondary for me. Or is that which kind of your line of thinking too?
Yeah, I would say probably secondary. Maybe a secondary to that would be getting another edge rusher in there or two.
Definitely.
Because Savion Jones looks really good. Harold Perkins looks really good. But I think ideally next year, Harold Perkins becomes Micah Baskerville. And he moves back to more of the off ball, and you don't really put him on the edge as much. Obviously, you don't want to never put him on the edge because, you know, he's dynamic. I have not stopped talking about it. I've mentioned it multiple times in articles, but I'm still just obsessed with the fact that he put off the Von Miller ghost move against Arkansas. One of the most impressive things I've seen a freshman do in any sport ever, pulling off that level of elite pass rush move. So you can't keep him off of that. But again, he is a liability in run defense, all coming off the edge. So that is something that you have to worry about. You're losing Ali Gay, who is the run defense. Like, he is like the guy and really, really good at that. So I think you need another big imposing guy. Like, Savion Jones can fill in for BJ Ojulari, similar play styles, similar body types. But
can Quincy Wiggins be that guy for you next year?
But also you still need another guy. So that's why I'm saying, like, Quincy Wiggins, I do think will be good. I feel like they need another big run defender in the portal on the edge. I think that would be my next thing after secondary.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think, you know, we talked a little bit about it, but just what these next couple weeks look like for LSU going to be very, very important. You know, by the time I would assume most of you are listening to this, or some of you are listening to this, LSU will know what their bowl game is. Another important, you know, game for LSU this year in terms of getting the young guys involved. You know, I would imagine that a lot of the guys who are thinking of going pro, who are thinking of, you know, entering the draft or entering the portal, a lot of those decisions will be made over the next couple weeks, and wouldn't expect those guys to play in that game. So it's going to be a really good opportunity for a lot of youngsters.
It might look kind of like the Kansas State game last year, honestly.
It could. You know, I think
– I mean, with a real quarterback, maybe.
Yeah, with a real quarterback, of course. You know, what happens – I mean, do they sit a couple of the veterans like Josh Williams, guys who might be a little banged up, you know, guys that you think are going to be huge parts of your team next year. Who knows? I mean, I we're getting a little bit too far ahead there, but I would say probably like the biggest thing that I'm looking at here is which guys are entering the portal. So, you know, LSU obviously has a lot of gaps that they're going to need to fill here with all these players leaving. The biggest takeaway I've had from Coach Kelly over the last week or two has been his diversion to the questions about the portal, and not who LSU is targeting in the portal, but who LSU doesn't want to let go. You know, they want to keep his roster as intact as possible. He's talked about it a number of times. And look, there are going to be positions here where LSU is going to need to go out and get a player. Yeah, I could say probably – Running back is going to be an area where LSU might go target a player. I would say receiver could be an area, especially if LSU loses a couple in the portal. We still don't know what's going to happen there. I on the receiver thing, I kind of tend to think LSU will keep most of those guys. I mean, they might lose one, maybe two. But if you look at it, I mean, look, Kayshon's going to be gone next year. You know, that's an open hole there for one of those guys who maybe didn't have as big an impactful season as maybe he would have liked, like a guy like Jack Besh. You know, you could slide him into that slot role where he's really, really good and kind of take over for Kayshon. You know, the Brian Thomas, I think, is a guy who could be a starter next year as well. He's started this year. I mean, he and Neighbors and Besh, I think, makes a nice trio there for you. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, Dre Jenkins is another guy who's leaving. So there's opportunity there, I think, for some of those young guys to really take on big roles next year in a room that shouldn't be as crowded.
A tight end. we didn't mention that tight end. They're gonna need to grab someone from the portal.
They could probably use a tight end. You know, Mason Taylor.
You have Mason Taylor and Mac Markaway set for next year, but other than that, Cole, Jack, and I mean, I guess Cole will probably come back, but Jack Besh, Nick Storrs leaving in that room, so you need another name.
O-line, you're gonna need O-line depth. You know, there's a number of guys that might just.
I mean, the good thing is you're returning your entire offensive line, ideally, the entire starting offensive line.
Yeah. Yeah, ideally. We'll see what happens with Bradford. I'm not entirely sure. Yeah, I mean, look, your bookend tackles next year. You got Zalance Hurd coming in. You got Tyree Adams.
Tyree Adams is a dog. He is one of the most physically imposing high schoolers I watched this year.
I think there's going to be some attrition on the O-line. Yeah, we could see a number of different guys go in there. You know the names, the depth guys, the – you know, the Macanules, the Cardell Thomases, the Xavier Hills, Marlon Martinez. We'll see what happens with him. I mean, like, there's a number of guys there that have been in this system now for a couple of years and haven't had the playing time that I'm sure they would like. Marcus Dumervil is another guy that comes to mind. You know, there could be a lot of attrition there on that O-line, and so you're going to need to bring in some guys from the portal. So we'll see what happens with all that. Are there any final thoughts that maybe you have on just what you're looking for over the next couple of weeks with this program?
I mean, I feel like outside of the portal, it's going to be a pretty quiet couple of weeks. You know, Coach Kelly mentioned it'll be just a lot of, you know, exams are next week. And the, which, you know, I already knew he didn't have to tell me. Exams are next week, and then it's a lot of like training and weight room stuff. So I think outside of the portal, it'll be a pretty quiet couple of weeks from the program as they kind of figure out. They're doing player interviews, he mentioned wanting to figure out what they did right, what they did wrong, how to improve for next year. And, it was a good year, a good first year. And we still have one more game left that we'll be able to talk about soon. Overall, I give this season a thumbs up. That's my final take on this season. Thumbs up. Good job, Brian Kelly and the coaching staff. You won the SEC West in year one and then ran into a buzzsaw. Yeah. So, and look, by that, I mean Texas A&M.
Yeah, giving up 88 points over the last couple games is – was not exactly, I think, tailor-made for success. But look, I tend to agree there. You know, I think this was a largely very successful first year. I think you learned a lot about the young talent you have on this team, which I think is probably more important than anything. You look at the foundation that's being set. That was one big quote that I took from Kelly today. He's talked about it a lot, but I mean, LSU is pretty set, you know, in terms of some of their young stars and who they think are going to be huge pieces for their big runs here over the next couple of years. With the bookend offensive tackles, you've got the tight end, you've got a number of receivers, you've got some young quarterbacks that are really intriguing.
I mean, I mean, they're not going to have the benefit next year of being predicted to finish dead last in the SEC. I'll tell you that. So it'll be interesting to see how they respond to an off season of hype.
Expectation. Yeah.
Yeah. This is not like guys, give them time. It's the first year. It's year two, and you excelled in year one. It was a question with Kim Mulkey this year of like, you overachieved in year one. How's year two going to look? And they've responded by scoring a record amount of points. I guess it worked out for them.
That's what we're hoping for next year. We're going to get the 750. We're going to pass up the 2019 team, right? They're going to pass up their 700 plus points that they put up, which is currently still a college football playoff record or college football record, I'm pretty sure.
So, I assume it probably will be. For yeah.
Well, 2020 Alabama came close. I mean, those guys were.
I mean, that is true. That is true.
They had a couple more games to put together some more stuff. All right. Well, we're getting off topic, so we'll get out of here, guys. We'll have some more pods later next week as we start to learn maybe what some of the offseason looks like for LSU, what portal moves we can expect. We'll get with Sonny. Maybe Sonny will join us for next week.
Be sure to, you know, this is a lot of people. Whenever a lot of people are going to check out, stick around. We're going to have plenty of sports coverage, you know, men's and women's basketball prepping for, you know, a deep run this season, in my opinion. I think they're going to be really good. So watch as football season ends, those seasons really begin in terms of the meat of the schedule kind of starts soon. So that'll be really exciting. And then baseball, talk about expectations. Baseball, a lot of people think it's championship or bust. So we'll be talking about all that over the next couple of weeks. So yeah, stick around, subscribe, tell your friends. LSU ain't going nowhere.
Nope, they sure aren't. They're not going anywhere. They're not backing down, as a former coach used to say. All right, guys, stay tuned. We'll be back soon.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday starting at 9/8 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.